This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There he is.
Look at that smile.
There's Terry Fontenot.
Look at that smile, though. I'm like, look at.
I traded back into the first round and got the edge rusher we wanted. Smile.
Yeah, that damn smile.
we welcome the Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot to the show, as we traditionally do on the Friday after the first round, live from Flowery Branch. Terry, how are you?
Good, man. I'm excited. Excited to add some more good players in the next couple of days.
People are excited as well.
Yeah.
The fans are excited as well.
He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
If you can't put on the tape and watch Jaylen Walker and Pierce, if you put on that tape and watch them play and you don't get excited, you don't like football.
Right.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And any game, put it on, even you go back to their high school tape, put on a game and see the way those dudes play with their hair on fire and fly around and get after the quarterback. If you can't get excited about that, then you just don't like football.
Let me ask you this, because I don't want to say surprised, because you can't afford to be surprised.
Yeah.
You're prepared for all of it. But at what point pre-15 did you start to think Jaylen Walker might be there for you guys?
Yeah, good question. And because, you know, those first, call it, 7 picks, they came off like chalk, exactly what everybody expected. And it was kind of unique. And that was the first time where when you get in that 8, 9, 10, where it's kind of started going off and these offensive linemen start going and a receiver and kind of – and so we said, you know what, there may be some defensive players down there that we don't expect, because we always work off worst-case scenario. And that's how we always have to work. So as opposed to saying it's surprised, I say we're excited he was there. And because now you get to that point and there's some really good defensive players that we're staring at. So we're really excited that he was there.
What took so long, Terry? Because we were sitting there, we were all sitting there like, okay. Okay, he's there. Because I promise you, when tight end goes 14 and we're all like, oh, yeah, like, he's there.
He's
look,
there.
We got a brand new draft. Have y'all been in the draft room?
Of course not.
No. Okay, we'll take y'all up there.
Can we go?
We'll make sure, Dave. Seriously, we'll take y'all in there, maybe after the draft,
but
maybe
the last day. What decisions are – obviously, you're the player, but was there something else going on?
No, that's what I was about to tell you. Okay. We got this brand-new draft room, and we're taking advantage of all that airtime. You don't want to waste it and turn the pick in too early, and you can't get the pictures and all that good stuff. But look, we go through our process, and we continue to talk to people, and we talk to – we're on the phones, and you got to go through that process. But, man, we're excited to do it, and we're excited to make that pick.
What does that time feel like to you? Because I'll tell you what it felt like for us. It felt like it took forever. Like, when they made the pick at 14, and the Falcons are on the clock, and we know Jaylen Walker is there, and you understand all the, you know, the ties and all of that kind of stuff. That 10 minutes took 10 years. How long did it take for you?
Well, it does. It feels like forever, but you've gone through so much. You've gone through these guys. You've been through these guys ad nauseum. We've had so many conversations about them and about. So it does seem like a long time, kind of when you're going right there. But it's an excitement. You know, I wouldn't say it's a nervousness or anything like that. It's an excitement about that. But you still gotta be professional and go through the process and all that stuff. But we were excited to turn that card in.
Could you tell us about the process with James Pierce Jr. leading up to the draft?
Yeah.
Because we were talking yesterday before the show, and obviously we give like, well, at 15, he picked a player, I picked a player. He picked the Georgia player, I picked James Pierce at the 15th spot. And then all of a sudden, you take Jaylen. And then what is your process of going back to get him?
So say it again, you picked James?
Yes, I said James at 15.
Got it.
Yeah. And
got
so
it.
I was curious about the week leading up to picking him. Would he?
Yeah.
If Jalen wasn't there, would he have been the pick there?
Yeah.
And then once you do take Jalen, how did you think about getting back in to get James?
Good question. And that kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier. You look at kind of worst case scenario and you work through that. So that's a really good scenario that they're both there. And then so you look at it and really in your mind, you want to get both players, you know. And so, okay, but we're going to take Jalen right here. But then how are we going to get back in here to get James Pierce? And we had already had a lot of conversations leading up to it with the teams below. And we knew some teams later in the lower 20s might want to trade out. But then we got really aggressive. We got on those phones and we said, let's figure out a way to get back in here and get him. And that was a dream scenario to get both those players.
Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot joining us here live in Flowery Branch after the first round last night where the team took two players, a third round draft pick tonight as well. As it stands right now, who knows?
Yeah. Yep.
Terry Fontenot more aggressive than we realized leading into this draft. You told us that earlier this week. You had the chart and
yeah.
You ranked where you ranked, and we found out last night. Let me ask you this because, I mean, look, pass rush has been a need for this team for a while. What was the biggest influence for you guys that led to addressing it at the level that you addressed it last night?
Yeah, well, if you don't know if you're going to have that opportunity to do that, but you can never have too many pass rushers. And if you hear our defensive coaches and Jeff Ulbrich talk about what we're going to do here and the way we're going to rotate, and you want guys out there emptying the tank so guys aren't going to be playing 100% of the snaps or 80% of the snaps. We want to rotate guys in, and so we want guys coming off the bench fresh and just hunting the quarterback. And so as many of those guys as you can get, you can't have too many pass rushers, whether we're talking about edge guys, interior guys, and to have guys that are different flavors like that, with Jalen being a guy that can move around and do so many different things. And then, again, Pierce coming off the edge with the violence and the way he does and that edge speed. So there are different types of flavors, and you add them in with the guys we have, and we're just rotating. So you can't have too many of those guys. And, look, we'll see where we are in the third round and what's there. Usually at that position, these pressure players, particularly defensive ends and edge, they come off early, and you're not getting them in those other rounds. Like in the third and fourth round, you can hit on some other positions, but just looking at the hit rate overall, those pressure players, particularly edge guys, you got to get them early, and so that's why we're aggressive.
I had a question because we were talking, and curious, when you drafted a player and he does not play that year, hurt or whatever, we're talking about Blake,
yep,
Trice, do you view him as maybe a third-round pick this year also?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we have a lot of guys like that, whether we're talking about Braylon Trice, even guys like that didn't play as much as we thought they could, like a JD or Rook, you know, Brandon Dorless. A lot of those guys that had some little injuries and knickknacks, those guys are developing really well, so we're excited about them moving forward. Guys develop at different levels,
yes,
you know, and there's just different situations. Some guys it pops in year two, some guys year three, some guys right away. They develop at different levels, but we're excited about all those guys.
How do you weigh the cost of getting back into the first round last night? Obviously giving up second tonight, first rounder next year. I mean, clearly James Pierce is a guy that,
yep,
you guys value highly, but when you're in the process of making that decision to do that, like, what are some of the factors that play into making that choice?
Yeah, good question. And really, if you look at it in a nutshell, what we did is we used next year's first round pick this year, right? So we used next year's first round pick this year, and we moved from the second to the third. That's what we really paid. So what it comes down to is, how do you feel about the player? Who's the player? If we do that for a player that doesn't pan out to what we expect, it was a bad trade. But the conviction that we had on James Pierce and what he's going to be for us, it's not even close. And essentially, like I said, we're just picking a first pick this year. And so the conviction that we had, then we're really excited about doing it. And that's how we're going to judge. We're not going to judge the trade based off of points and who on this chart or that chart. We're not judging off that. We're judging off who he becomes.
Right.
So if he becomes a really good pass rusher for us, who we believe that he's going to become, then it was a hell of a trade.
Was defense a mandatory thing? Because we go back all the way to the combine. Like, the whole defensive staff was up there. Some people were like, well, maybe they sell a wolf tickets or something. It seemed like Andy was saying, we always ask for pass rush. And it was a receiver, which is trying to be a great pick. A running back, this, and this. Offensive lineman. But now you went – was it like one of those things when you were going to the combine, right after the Senior Bowl or whatever, did you sit up there and talk to your staff and then talk to Ra, have the conversation with Ra, we need as many good defensive players impactful as we can right now.
Yeah, Randy, that was a little bit overblown. We did have some offensive coaches there too. You know, it kind of got reported and it just kind of took off,
right?
You know, but
what are you saying? We sensationalize things sometimes. All right,
but honestly, we looked at it like we got to get impact players, and so we weren't gonna if just another defensive end that we didn't have that level of belief in, we weren't just gonna take any defensive end or any pressure players. But those particular players truly were the top guys on our board in terms of the impact that they can have for us, you know. So we do have to stay disciplined in that way and bring in impact players and not reach. And so if a lot more defensive players went off than we expected and we didn't really feel good about what was there and couldn't trade out, we got to take the best player on the board.
Right.
And that might not have been a defensive player. That's just the truth. Now, it worked out exactly how we wanted to, so we're excited.
We've talked about the phrase character issues today. I think it's an unfair phrase because it's so broad and it can apply to so many different things. But it's a phrase that people have used when talking about James Pierce.
Yep.
As you're getting ready to draft someone and obviously looking into everything they are on the field and off the field, how important is it what you're bringing them into, what your organization is, and how much of a difference can that make in terms of your comfortability with a guy?
Yeah, great point. And you know, character issues, when sometimes things will get reported, and the tough thing is people don't always know the amount of intel that we know,
right?
What we know. There are some players that have serious character concerns that no one knows about. There's the same thing with medical. Some guys have bad medical stuff people don't even know about. Same thing with character. So we have a really good scouting staff that gathers all the information. They do a really good job, and they really pound the pavement in that way. And then we are extremely thorough with how much time we spend with the players, the people that surround the players. So we make sure we know exactly what we're bringing to this building. But to your point, that is important to know your building, your culture, your coaches, who's going to be coaching the players. Okay, Jock. Okay, is Jock the right fit? Okay, what's our player engagement, and how do they help? Because we believe it's our job to not only maximize players on the football field but also off the football field. Let's make them better men. Let's help them grow and mature. That's all of our jobs in here. We're all resources for the players, and so we want to make sure that we have the right culture to help all of our players grow and mature. So, but we spend as much time as we can gathering all the intel to know if that's a right fit for us or not. We want guys that are passionate and love ball, and they love playing ball, and they love to compete. And then if there's some things that we need to help them with, then we're going to help them with. But the things that are non-negotiable, you better love ball and love to go out there and compete and be about winning championships. And we believe the players we brought in yesterday are.
Traded a pick for James Pierce. Or is there any more in the dealings as far as trades, specifically a player that's on the team or somebody that, you know, you know, is that – I know you're not going to tell it. Terry, we done interviewed you too many times to know that you ain't going to give
it. No, I got where you're going.
But is there
– look.
What's going on with Kirk, all right? Where's Kirk at right now?
And look, basically, just like we've said the entire time, that if the right thing comes around and if there's an offer for any player on our roster that makes sense, then we're going to do it. But it's going to be about this football team, this organization, doing everything we can do to help this organization be better. And so we're always open to all those things. We communicate with the other 31 teams constantly and work through things. I'm sorry, guys. I got my phone on.
Who is that?
I'll show it to you.
Look and see what the notification says.
You see who that is? Don't say it out loud.
I won't.
You know who that is?
I do.
You know what team he's from?
I do.
Okay, yeah. Don't say it out loud.
I won't. All right. Thank you for showing me that. Look at that.
And that was off the record, so when I leave, don't start talking about it.
I'm not even going to tell Randy about that.
Hold on, man.
It was his wife.
Oh.
It wasn't. It was a GM, but he's not going to share it.
It wasn't. We saw Jeff Ulbricht almost tackle you last night on television in that room you were talking about. Maybe he's the answer to this. Maybe he's not. Who was the happiest person on staff last night after the first round was over?
Man, everybody. That's the cool thing about both of these players that we brought in, because we do have a lot of layers of information. We have our scouts and everything they go through. We have our coaching staff. We have our analytics department. We have really our player performance, everyone in the building. They all spend so much time going through this process, and I'll say that everybody was excited. Everybody. 1,000%, because it's not always like that, and that's just the truth. It's not always like that, because we're not trying to build consensus and just have groupthink and bring – no, we're trying to get all the information and make the right decision for the Atlanta Falcons. But in this case, with both these players, I would say everybody was excited. And yeah, Brick was – he even sent me a text at like 2 in the morning going to sleep and about how excited he was. That's probably why I couldn't sleep because I keep getting these texts. So, but yeah, I would say the entire building's pumped up right now. And look, we got more work to do.
Right.
We got the third-round pick today, and then tomorrow we got a couple picks. And then that eighth round is real. After the draft, there's going to be a lot of good players, and we got to be aggressive, and we got to make sure we bring in some good players, because every year you look at undrafted free agency, and there's going to be some good players that come out of it.
Yeah.
And so we got to make sure we find those guys and get them to Atlanta.
Did you send a jet for Jalen? Because I saw the phone call. Did y'all send a jet, a chopper, or something down the south there?
We did. We put them both on. Actually, they land here in a little bit.
Okay.
But we were able to put them both on there in Charlotte.
We appreciate it, as always.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Terry.
That's about
it is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We told you he was coming. He's coming. And he's here.
He's on Lombardi time, Carl. He's early.
Hey, man. He played at Georgia. You know, he's got to be early for the meetings, bro.
Right, right.
Jalen Walker is here. First and foremost, man, congratulations, brother. Congrats. We are happy that you're here.
Man, I appreciate it.
As a Falcon, last night it was funny because everybody's seen the call now when they called you, and you were like, I'm at the crib.
Yeah.
In Salisbury. What was it like, man? I mean, honestly, just take us through that last night and getting that call. Did you have any idea it was going to be us?
Yeah, I was actually, you know, watching the clock. When I seen the Falcons on the clock, I'm seeing it. And, you know, for the earlier picks, they were like, oh, as soon as that pick happened, like as soon as the next pick, the pick was in. And then I was looking and saw the clock winding down. It was like 3 minutes left. I'm like, man, what's going on, man? And looked down again and my phone's ringing. And I'm like, man, there we go. Like, here we go. Let's go. So it was just a great opportunity.
Man, as we said, not to sound like little kids, man, we sound like fanboys already, Carl. We were so excited because, number one, we wanted the Bulldogs. We wanted somebody from Kirby's machine, what he's developed. Talk about what you learned at UGA.
Man, I learned a lot. You know, being there for those 3 years, you develop as a player and as a young man as well. And those guys and that program there, they're running it really well, and I appreciate all they did.
So one of the things I've talked about with you, specifically leading up to the draft, Jalen, is I said, man, his size, I don't know. And then everybody I'm talking to around the league and everybody that scouted you is like, it don't matter. And then you look, he's shaking his head. And then you turn on the tape,
right,
and you're taking on these big tackles. You're holding guys off. You're setting the edge. But is this something that you always seemingly hear, or is this something that you know, when we talk about, oh, he's not the prototypical this, that, or the other, but you're a playmaker.
Most definitely. And I hear it, but, you know, it goes in and out the other year because I know the player and what I have in me, that dog. So it is what it is.
We know a lot of guys, and we always hear the phrase coach's son, you know, and your dad coached. I mean, it just seems like, I don't know, when I played Little League, my dad was really mean to me. He liked the other kids better. How much of a factor was what your dad taught you coming on up?
Right. My dad was actually, he was a college coach, so I really didn't get into his realm. But him being there for me, he was actually a dad first before he was a coach. So I appreciate that and everything he did for me.
Yeah, it's a part of your story as we're talking with Jalen Walker. Last night, our first pick in the first round, 15th overall, guys, here at the Branch today. It's Dukes and Bell. As we talk about your relationship with Ra and certainly Terry Fontenot, Terry has said at your pro day, y'all spoke like, you know, you were sitting there for an hour or so.
Right.
What were the conversations? Was he just talking about life? Was he talking football with you?
Man, we were talking about life, catching up, football, everything. I mean, it was a great opportunity to just pick his brain because he's smart as it comes. Sitting there and getting to know him, and I met his son as well. You know, being there with him and talking with him right there in the indoor was great. You know, just getting able to pick his brain.
What was that combine experience like? Because we hear about the interviews and you feel like a piece of meat in there. How strange was that?
It wasn't as strange as people made it seem. It was just about meetings and football. I enjoyed it because you're sitting there talking about football all day. And it was easy for me.
You like breaking down film?
Yeah. It was really good, you know, watching my plays and watching what happened in the season. I could recall what was going on. It was great.
Yeah, well, I don't want to talk about that Texas game, but I guess we have to. you dominated that offensive line, man. Y'all did a hell of a job in Austin, and obviously in the SEC championship game. And then, you know, last night I'm watching the draft, and I see the New Orleans Saints take Calvin Banks. Stop it. And I'm like, oh,
Banks is going to the Saints.
Well, this is very fortuitous.
Yes, and then I see, oh, we get Jalen Walker, and Jalen had his day against Banks. Man, talk about those games, because those were big games for you guys this year. But, you know, everybody going into those games are saying, oh, their offensive line, and I was laughing after the game because Kirby's like, what? You guys got after it.
Right. Yeah, we just had a great game plan for the week, and, you know, we executed well. We knew where Quinn wanted to escape. We knew what the pros were to certain tackles and guards. We knew the cons to those tackles and those guards, and we just used it to our advantage.
That game was something. We could talk about that game because it was like, man, you guys get them off the field and you're back on the field.
Yep.
So you had to do it. Obviously, a little bit different when you had them at your house. By the way, we get a guy going into that Falcons locker room who knows his way around Mercedes-Benz. It's like a home away from home for you.
We call it our home, our home stadium. Being there at Georgia, it was great being in the Benz. It's a different environment. It's just a different feeling that I get going into the game.
Did Arthur send Falcon 1 to pick you up? Did you get the plane?
I did get the jet.
My man.
They sent the jet.
Yeah, because we heard you like, send it.
Send it. Hey, I told him to send it, and they sent it. Man, it was crazy. Yeah, he's got it going on with that jet.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's a little 17-seater.
Shrimp cocktail?
Nah, a little, you know, get some good food, snacks, anything you needed. So it was pretty good.
Jalen Walker joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Guys, we're chopping it up with our first round pick. Look, you maybe feel it. I hope you do. But the excitement is real, bro, about you guys getting picked, talking about James as well, and then, you know, what we feel like our team has lacked. You feel any pressure? And I say this because you played at Georgia, but coming here and saying, hey, I'm not going to say you're a savior, but people feel like, oh, you're going to help us go to the next level.
Right.
Do you feel that?
I feel no pressure. I just feel like it's another day and it's another opportunity for me to come in and, you know, and keep playing football and support the locker room and support the program.
We always hear guys when they ask the question, hey, would you like to be a Falcon? Or, I'm just happy to be in the league. Was the Falcons on a short list because of the proximity playing at Athens?
Man, I had no choice of team. It didn't matter. It was just the opportunity.
Right.
If anybody had called that phone, I would have picked up and I would have been excited for anybody.
We've talked about Coach Raheem Morris and having a tremendous rep around the league. What do you know about him and what do you think so far?
I love that guy. I love that guy. The meetings that we had prior, it was great. His energy that he brings, his vision that he brings, his work ethic that he wants to bring, and all his morals that he wants to do for the program is great. And, of course, my relationship with him is great, and we got to celebrate that today with him, and I'm glad I'm here.
We're glad you're here. Former teammates, current teammates were all commenting on social media.
Right.
Like, dude, really? Jalen dropped a fit. Like, were you surprised at how this thing played out last night? As you watched, did you feel like you feel slighted at all that you didn't go earlier? Like, how does that go for you?
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier, it's a great opportunity for me to be here. But, you know, there's no discredit for all the people that got picked in front of me because those are tremendous athletes as well, and I played against them, and I played we'll play against them in the future as well, you know, and much power to all those teams that picked their players and their program decided to go another way, but I'm glad we made the right decision here in Atlanta to bring me in.
Hey guys, Jalen Walker's with us live inside the Ticketmaster Studios, Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk to James Pierce Jr. coming up later this hour. Speaking of big edge rushers, you talked to Mikael Williams?
I did. Yeah, I just talked to him maybe about 5 minutes ago. I sent him a text. He's in San Francisco right now.
Wow. Same thing, just juiced.
Man, juice, man. He's excited. He was telling me about it last night.
We talk about, you know, your journey. We talk your dad being a coach, and everyone just kind of takes for granted. Everybody who's listening right now, their dream would be where you were last night getting that phone call. Talk about the journey, the hard work, all the things you did to get there.
Long time coming. Full of hard work. Me and my dad talk about it all the time. You got to work. Somebody got to work. You got to work hard doing it. You know, being at Georgia, my time there. You have to work hard to succeed in life.
Is that why you chose Georgia? Because you knew what was coming with Kirby?
Chose hard. Coach Smart says choose hard. If you want to come to University of Georgia, you choose hard. And once you do it, you're going to be successful because you see the program and you see the history that they have with draft picks and just players in general.
Yeah. And it's funny because – you know, people would say, you guys get to the pros and y'all don't know about walkthroughs. Because everything's full speed.
Right.
Walkthrough, what is that?
Yeah, I've heard those stories. The guys like, hey, man, like, relax. Relax. I'm like, hey, you're not at Georgia anymore.
But I mean, I enjoy it. It's just what I'm so used to.
Sure.
You know,
right.
It's just in me, and that's going to be as anybody else who's at Georgia as well.
Yeah, the practices, you know, sometimes we're harder than the games, right? I mean,
100% time.
Yeah.
Most definitely. We practice hard just so when we get to that game, it's not what you think it is. It's going to be a lot easier and it's going to be a lot smoother than you think.
Let me ask you this real quick, because I know you have a relationship with Micah Parsons. Both you guys, Adidas, right? Is
correct.
That right? Big shout out to David Mulligata too, UT. Got to do it, bro. Got to do it. But that's the agent for these guys.
Man, I want to shout out Trey Smith, UGA.
No doubt. No doubt.
UGA.
No doubt.
You go.
Good
yes,
call.
Sir.
But I want to ask you about that relationship with Micah, because what kind of effect has he had on you?
Right.
And if I said to you, Jalen, we're talking to you in 3 years, does your game resemble, you know, what Micah does on the field? Do you feel like that's the kind of player you can be? I'm not saying you're Micah, but
correct.
Obviously the things that he does.
Most definitely. I feel like Micah has a motor like myself, and he's a baller. And he's a guy that I take pieces from his game to apply to mine. And I appreciate him just being that older brother and that mentor for me.
One of the things we talked about with Jalen is the leadership thing. And it's not like you come here to the Falcons. You come in here at the first day of OTAs. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Jalen Walker.
Right.
Leadership is earned. But it's a role that you did embrace at Georgia.
Yes, it's all about respect and the opportunity, you know, getting into the locker room and getting to learn these guys and getting to know these guys. That's how it starts. It's about the relationship. And once you build that relationship, you build trust. And after you build the trust, you build that mutual respect of being that leader.
Jalen, we're excited, man.
Man, I appreciate it.
Rise up.
Rise up. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks. The Falcons went back into the first round last night and got Pierce out of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making his way into the room. What's up, bro? Good to see you, man. As he's getting ready to sit down here.
Right on.
We're talking to all these guys, man, because the draft is the best and funnest thing as far as, you know, how your team improves. And can you hear us, brother? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Man, welcome. First of all, James Pierce, thank you for being here. Congratulations, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're happy that you're here. I know a lot of people were surprised that we went back in and pulled you out. I asked Jalen this question. Did you have any idea it was going to be us that was going to draft you last night?
I low-key hoped for it. Just a little bit. A
little bit?
Because we heard they put the work in with you. So, I mean, did you feel as a player, do you feel the Falcons had more interest in you than other teams?
I feel like that we got to know each other and we got to communicate back and forth. So, a little bit more than other teams.
Okay.
6'5", 250-ish, Mike. You know, talk about SEC, first and quarterback pressures. Talk about your pass rush, man, because, you know, you played at Tennessee, obviously, being in the South, SEC, Atlanta being the home. We see a lot of SEC games and pay attention to all these things. But talk about you being a pass rusher, because it's something we've desperately needed, and how you, you know, have developed over the last few years and certainly the success you had at Tennessee.
I set up everything off speed, just naturally being a pass rusher. And then after that, it just come with learning and how you can use the hands and stuff like that, so.
Is that something you feel you got to work on a little bit, technique-wise?
I said it before. As long as I'm playing the game of football in the National Football League, I don't feel like you should ever stop working on your hands. So as long as I'm playing, I'll always try to get better at that and perfect that.
We got Coach Ra. And we got the word last night that your defensive coordinator couldn't sleep at all last night. He's so excited.
Yeah, I need to go see him.
But, I mean, it is pretty cool, though, the idea of coming here in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, the juice. This is a team that – I don't know if you picked up on the buzz, but there's a lot of energy, man. People are really excited about the aggressiveness to go get you in the first round of the moves we made last night.
Yeah.
So how you feeling, man? You excited?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for it. And, it means a lot to me that they was able to do that, and they did that, and they believe in my game and what I can bring to this team. So,
James, we heard I think it was our general manager Terry Fontenot say, "Is Miss Kizzy there?" When he talked to you on the phone, and I'm just curious, to tell us about your mom, man, and you know her impact in your life, because they were talking about meeting the people around you and how important that was for the organization to kind of get a sense of who you were.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more so that my mom more so laid back like me and just let me do my own thing a little bit. So they probably was like, where is it coming from? You know what I'm saying? So they probably wanted to meet the person who produced the guy like this. So
What was mom saying last night, man?
She was happy. She was happy, especially when she seen the 404. She was super happy.
Right. Yeah. We talked about it with Jalen. It's like every kid wants to be in the NBA or the NFL. Mm-hmm. But like last night, did you catch yourself in the moment like this is really happening?
Oh yeah. Even walking into the facility today, when I got my jersey, my agent asked to hold it. I really didn't want him to let him hold it, but yeah.
You raised in and around Charlotte. You played hoops too, didn't you? Didn't you play some basketball?
Well, yeah, I started late though. In high school, I started playing basketball in high school. I've been playing football since I was six, though. So.
Okay, because I was wondering if the basketball helped you. We hear guys say that, you know, sometimes playing hoops it helps. You a big hoops fan?
Yeah, my girl playing basketball.
Yeah, she's in the WNBA, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a favorite team you watch as far as the NBA is concerned, or not really?
The NBA?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right. Just out of curiosity.
Because we could actually use kind of a small forward with the Hawks. I don't want to put too much on your plate. I'm just saying, if you want to, you know, be pretty good at, you know, ad campaign around that. Like Bo Jackson part two. Just throwing it out there, man. Again, guys, James Pierce Jr. is with us live in the Ticketmaster Studios. Again, two first-round picks. What has the team told you? Have they told you anything about what they expect from you and what they expect you to do?
That's
see quarterback, get quarterback.
Exactly. It's still a bottom line business, and pretty sure I got to come here and produce just like any other player on this team and stuff like that, and do what's best for the team at all costs.
James, you went to Tennessee. Your decision to go there outside the money. we can say that now. NIL.
Hey,
I mean, come
now
on.
Now it's legal,
that's
baby.
That's right, man. I ain't tripping. But seriously, you had a chance to go pretty much anywhere you wanted in the SEC. What was your decision there? And I heard Coach Heupel talk about you one of his first big recruits.
It was big to me. Mom liked it. It was super close to home. It was Tennessee. I went there to hunt 2000 screaming. Mm-hmm. It was just a different feeling. It was just something that I was more connected with. And then Coach Heupel liked to score a lot of points. Teams got to be able to keep up. I like to rush the passer.
Yeah. Easy formula there for you, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's why he produced 27.5 sacks, guys, for loss.
All SEC twice.
And this is what we're
getting. First team.
17.5 sacks the last two seasons, and that's why we're excited, James, because it's something we've been lacking, obviously, with our Falcon organization. In your conversations, Mike asked you, you know, what they've told you, but what do you think you bring? Like, Falcon fans are listening right now, and they're saying, all right, James, man, what you going to bring to the squad?
Just right now, Dominic's ready to learn, ready to get to it, and ready to figure out how I can affect the game at the next level. So,
right on. We talked to Jalen about this because it's a strange journey. You how much did you watch the coverage when people like let's punch up James Pierce Jr. what they say and all the things that get thrown out there about you. Do you feel like you're just a piece of meat at the combine? How was that interview process?
No, I didn't feel like that. I know, like I said, it's a bottom line business. You feel me? So I know I really don't take it too personal.
Right.
I understand that they want to get to know me, so I don't take it really too personal. I just go with the flow for the most part.
Right.
Well, you've done a heck of a job, man, getting ready for this thing. And last night was a lot of fun for Falcon fans and seeing this all come together. Obviously, we're not done. Hopefully, we'll add some more pieces. But welcome to the A, man. We're excited to have you. Uh-huh. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when they get a chance to see you on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis, brother.
Yeah, nah. In this red, that would be great.
And by the way, you know, in the old days, as in like 3 years ago, we used to ask guys, what are you going to do when you get that contract? Now you probably had a cool whip at Tennessee, right?
Yeah. I got a nice car, I feel like. It's the car I want. I probably won't be getting another car until.
Yeah.
Right, but it's funny because it's funny. I don't know. Do you take a pay cut, Carl, when you come in the NFL nowadays?
Depends.
Hey, man, welcome to the A, man.
Uh-huh, for sure, no doubt.
Right.
And that brings me, Bo, to our guest, Mr. Dave Archer. Now, Dave, you were in the building last night. I know that Squid was with you. You guys, Wes Durham, Mike Conte, did a great job covering it last night, but you knew the vibes around the Falcon fan base long before any of us did and got to feel that building a little bit, man. What was the reaction like from your end?
Yeah, it was incredible, Mike. You kind of knew that if it got to a certain guy, we were going to get the reaction we kind of been waiting for several years. And it was so weird because I was in the building last year with the maybe the incredulous feeling that they felt last year, or the befuddled feeling they felt last year after what Atlanta had done in deciding to go with a quarterback, which, as it's turned out, was a pretty good pick as well. But it was just there was an anticipation we had probably eight or 10 guys that were kind of circling our area that were kind of trying to lean into us to hear what we were saying and trying to get an idea of what might be happening. But just to watch the drama unfold of a guy that you and I and Bo talked about yesterday morning and that we really have all been talking about for the last several months is could possibly one of the best defensive players in the draft be still available at 15. And when things stacked up the way they did, the surprises that kind of happened in the first round early in the top 10 with Carolina and what they did, with what New Orleans, you know, we thought New Orleans might take one of the Georgia players. They did. All of a sudden you look up and Jalen Walker sitting there, and I think all of us became fans at that point, Mike. I mean, as much as we were trying to analyze it and talk about what this guy can do and what he can add to whatever team he goes to, all of a sudden he's sitting in your lap. And then there was the worry that, are they going to take him? Are they going to take him? Because it went, you know, almost the full 10 minutes before they squeezed the trigger on it. But ultimately, Jalen Walker is a Georgia Bulldog. And then we became fans as we were leaving because we had checked out with what happened at 26 for them to jump back in. And really kind of describes what I think Terry Fontenot's been since he's been here, is they don't know what he's going to do. I don't think the rest of the league knows what Terry Fontenot's doing. And I think that's one of the strengths he has is he does such a good job talking to up to the draft. You're not sure where they're going. And then all of a sudden, everybody's talking about, hey, we got to get more draft capital. We can't do this, that, yet. He does what he did last night at 26. So just an amazing evening.
Well, the scouting report, Arch, is he's 75% aggressive. That's what he told us. And I think that number might have jumped up. 75% of the time, Terry trades up every time. Hey, look, I know we're going to get to James Paris. I know we're also going to ask you about the rest of the NFC South. To me, though, with this pick, with Jalen Walker pick with James Paris, one of the things that is kind of unlocked is Jalen Walker, you talked about it yesterday, that he can play everywhere. He's a three-down player. He can cover. He's strong against the run. He's obviously can come off the edge and get that job done, too. He can spy. That's something I want to touch on. I feel like the difference, you can talk about clock management all you want, the difference in the Washington game was the second half game plan that Cliff Kingsbury had where he said, Jaden, drop back, one look, and if it's not there, use your legs. And it destroyed us. Our athleticism in the linebacker core lost us that game. Going to touch on what Jalen Walker brings where you can use him as that spy at times like he did in the SEC championship game against Jalen Milroe and company and a little bit against Arch Manning in Texas.
Yeah, his ability to run sideline to sideline, Bo, is really unmatched. We talked, you know, he was the Butkus Award winner a year ago, the top linebacker, and you can put all the accolades on him you want, but just his innate ability to track the football. You can put any type of tape on you want to. You see him walking people down, whether it's a bubble screen to the outside, it's a quarterback that decides to get outside, it's a, you know, if he's kind of with a jet sweep and he's standing in the middle of the field, you look up and outside the numbers, Jalen Walker's making a tackle. I think the part that maybe we tried to emphasize some is the schooling that some of these Georgia players get, all these Georgia players get when they go there. And I know Rusty's talked about this a great deal. When you come out of Georgia and you played your Kirby Smart, you know how to play defensive football. You understand leveraging the ball. You understand the signs to read, the instincts that are there with all these players because they're 4- and 5-star kids, but you got to nurture those. And that's what Georgia and their staff do under Kirby Smart's leadership. They teach these guys to take those instincts and then manifest those into the ability to almost kind of predict where you're going to go. And when they do, then they have that athleticism to go walk people down. But there's no question that the ability for quarterbacks to move in the National Football League. We saw two guys drafted last night at quarterback, Jackson Dart, who the Giants jumped back into. They went in and got, he's an athlete-type player. That's a guy that Walker's had to track down for the last couple of years at Ole Miss. And certainly Cam Ward's ability to create and extend plays. That's what this thing has become to a large extent. I mean, think about Patrick Mahomes extending plays, Jaden Daniels, all these guys extending plays, Jalen Hurts who won a Super Bowl extending plays. Do you have guys that can go get them?
Well, you just drafted two guys that's what they do. I talked about it on the Atlanta Falcon Radio Network, or I talked about it on the AtlantaFalcon.com about some of these guys who were prospects of mine. Both these guys were guys that I termed hunters. These are both hunters, and they can walk people down, and that's what Jalen Walker does.
Atlanta Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer hanging out with us here on this celebratory Friday morning. And Dave, look, man, I think that's a perfect kind of prelude to lead into the conversation about the NFC South. You guys did a great job covering it last night, where you got to 8-9. You thought that Carolina might look at a Georgia player. You thought that Mikael Williams would be in play. You also thought that the Saints, I at least did, thought that there's a possibility they could take a quarterback, a Jackson Dart, a Shadur. You're surprised to see both those teams pass up on these two Georgia guys and a lot of other defense players in the draft.
Yeah, it was stunning, Mike. I mean, when you get there, you think, okay, yeah, this is where Jalen Walker's coming off the board. He'd been mocked there a lot of times, and I know that's kind of a speculation type deal. But when you looked at their needs, I mean, Carolina needed a receiver. I mean, you saw the emergence of what they had done offensively. We saw it in the last game of the year here that Carolina was trending in the right direction. Dave Canales had done a good job of bringing on their young quarterback, and they'd added a couple pieces there, and so would a wide receiver make some sense? Okay, it made some sense there. For New Orleans, offensive line, you know, they got battered on the offensive side of the football last year. I mean, they were beat up as far as, you know, their ability to move the ball. We played them, and we ended up losing to a team that was really beat up and didn't have a lot of players on the field. But, you know, their quarterback was sacked 37 times last year, which was 13th best in the National Football League. They were 15th in the league rushing the football. So when you start looking at New Orleans, offensive line was not necessarily an area you were leaning toward, and all of a sudden they take the big tackle out of Texas. So that was a surprise, albeit it was a need for them. I just think that there were some other places, and especially with the guys on the board that you thought were on the board or were on the board, that they would take those guys and maybe just – to be selfish and not allow anybody else to get them. And Atlanta ended up being the beneficiary of those two teams going in maybe a little bit of an odd direction.
Arch, why did the Falcons love James Pierce so much? I mean, I know what the accolades are. He's 6'5", 245. He's fast. He's got strong hands. But what really did they see him doing in the Ulbrich Raheem Morris defensive system? Why did they fall in love with that enough to trade back into the first round for him?
Ulbrich's defenses the last 3 years, and obviously Robert Saleh, a big part of what they did in New York, but they were in the top three or four in the National Football League each of the last 3 years in total defense. If you remember 2 years ago, they drafted a long, kind of skinny kid out of Iowa State, Will McDonald, a very similar-looking guy to what you're going to get with James Pierce. Narrow hips, explosive, can bend and get around the corner, but can close. And as I said with you guys' first question, his ability to hunt and go get the football. They're looking for guys that can go track the quarterback down. And Pierce, if you want to just pick straight line, go get the quarterback, you could argue that James Pierce is the best guy in the draft. You know, even with Abdul Carter in the conversation. He and Mike Green were two slim-hipped guys that play with a relentlessness on the outside. And then when they get clean and they free up, they can finish. And I think that's the thing that's interesting about Pierce is his ability to kind of flatten and finish at the top of things. That was Araku is another one of those kind of guys that does those type of things. But with James Pierce having done it in the SEC, there's some value to having drafted these two guys out of the best conference in America. And they played heavy competition the last several years of their career. That's immediately where they're going to get. We see guys being taken at tackle. New Orleans took a tackle from Texas. Well, those guys played against that guy, you know, Kelvin Banks. So that's who they've been playing against. So you go get guys that are NFL ready. And I think that these two guys are that way.
Arch, appreciate you hanging out with us today, man. Enjoy the rest of the draft, and we'll talk to you again on Monday, I believe, man. But let's go get some more players.
That sounds great, man. Appreciate you, and thanks for joining us last night. Great insight you gave us last night, and I'm sorry that your boy let us down last night with the whole, you know.
Mr. Frodo feet over here.
But, just yeah. don't follow your words.
That's what
I
happens,
I made a
dude.
Promise to my wife, Arch, that I would come home and not be brought home in handcuffs, all right?
I told her – look, I told you I would have bailed you, man. But nonetheless, shout out to Dave Archer for hanging out with us.
Still would have been there.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday host, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other quarter, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
By the way, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Joe, big night last night. How are you?
I'm great, guys. You know, usually you're kind of feeling tired after a long night of the first round of the NFL draft. But I got to say, I woke up this morning kind of with a little bounce in the step, despite just, you know, a few hours of sleep, because what an exciting night that was for the Falcons. And just really feels like they kind of transformed the defense, the identity of the defense, the athleticism that this defense has just with a couple picks. And so for all the, you know, frustration there was with the lack of moves in free agency because they just didn't have a lot of space, last night really was kind of cathartic in terms of feeling some optimism for this team going forward.
JP, what did you think when the time was going down? You know, you're sitting there like, okay, the pick is in. Wait, no, not, the pick is not in. The clock just continues to go down. And so you're thinking, are they moving back? Are they taking the time? What was your initial thought process when you saw that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely thought that they were trying to shop the pick, basically, at that point. Because when you do have a player like Jalen Walker who's fallen to that point, it would make sense. There might be other teams around the league who'd want to spend to get back up. Because, and this kind of plays into a larger kind of theory of the case as to how things actually unfolded for the Falcons last night, and maybe in terms of what they expected to happen versus what actually happened. And if you were to kind of pin me down on one thing, I would have thought that they kind of went into the draft last night expecting to come out of the first round with James Pierce Jr. I think that he was really kind of the target that they had in mind. But when a player of Walker's caliber falls to them, you know, it's one of those things that like Howie Roseman always gets credit for. You just take the best player that's available to you at the time, and ultimately you're going to amass a really talented team. And I think that that's, you know, kind of what they did last night. And Terry's talked a lot in the past about best player available. And of course, Jalen Walker, he's not just the best player available at the time, but he's also a player that has so many skills and characteristics that are going to help this Falcons defense so much. And so, you know, ultimately they then go back and trade up to get the guy they wanted. And, you know, whether that was actually how they planned for things to unfold, or if they just decided, you know what, this is going to end up being a big night for us because we want to get James Pierce Jr. in too. Either way, you know, it's just such an exciting time for the Falcons. I'm sure the defensive staff, because this defense has just been kind of the source of a lot of frustration for Falcons fans over the better course of this playoff drought that they've been on. I think that these picks just give them a lot of optimism about what they can be going forward.
Hey, Joe, do you think that if the first 14 picks kind of went the way people thought they might and Jalen Walker wasn't there at 15, do you think they would have taken Pierce at 15?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I feel pretty strongly about that too, actually. With the mock draft that we saw come out really in the 48 to 72 hours preceding the draft, specifically if you look at some of the pundits like Jonathan Jones, I'll call him out in particular, who nailed the Michael Penix pick last year, that tells you that those reporters have certain sourcing that is good caliber, and they know what they're talking about. And he went with James Pierce Jr. in his last mock for the Falcons. So I thought that that was really important. Then the other thing with regards to James Pierce Jr., you always felt like they were going to be in that market for obviously an edge player, but specifically those kind of twitched up edges that can really get after the quarterback with the speed rush. And Mike Green was another one of those guys. And that was the other thing that you saw in these last 2 to 3 days ahead of the draft was Mike Green really falling. And not just for the Falcons, but for everybody. I saw several mock drafts, including Jonathan Jones's, Daniel Jeremiah as well, also had him falling out of the first round altogether, which sounded crazy, but I think it really showed that the red flags that he had were truly red flags for teams, where James Pierce Jr., obviously some similar kind of character concerns, but I think they're totally of a different nature than Mike Green. And I think that it's pretty clear that the ones that Mike Green was carrying were just much more unpalatable for teams than James Pierce Jr. And the Falcons believe that I think Raheem Morris can kind of tap into James and get the most out of him as a professional.
Can I ask you something about that? Because Randy brought up a really good point about the character issues causing players to drop on boards yesterday. And it seems pretty clear that that's what happened with Mike Green. But, like, somebody's going to take him today, right? Like, he's not going to fall out of the draft altogether. So, like, and I understand first-round draft picks with the fifth year, and there's just sort of a different value to it. But, like, have you ever heard a decision-maker explain how you can justify taking a guy with character issues on day two versus not early? You know what I mean? Like, character issues don't matter as much today as they did yesterday.
Right, yeah. Like, you can deal with a character issue, you know, if he's in the third round versus second round. No, I think, you know, the way that Terry, all I can speak about is, you know, the way that Terry has kind of talked about it and how the Falcons perceive it, which is that it's like similar to a medical eval where it's like, ultimately you do all the work and then you discuss it as a group and you make a decision about whether this is a player you're willing to draft or you aren't. And I think the reason why we all expect him to go in the second round today, Andy, is because not every team is going to, you know, have the same needs, first of all, to draft a player like him with their top pick, but then also not every team is going to come to the same conclusion as to whether he's a draftable player or not. And so I think that we just understand that today there's going to be teams that are going to see him as a tremendous value at this point in the draft, and they are willing to take him. I can't say for certain that he was completely off of the Falcons, but I would say that was a good amount of confidence that they were basically in for James Pierce, and if it wasn't going to be him, it was going to be somebody else, and wasn't going to be Mike Green as well.
Well, he was on my mock draft, Joe, so it just wasn't the guy you were talking about. I had him also mocked at 15 yesterday.
It's true. Randy did say James Pierce yesterday.
Yeah, congrats. I was a Mike Green guy.
I said one of the Georgia guys, so I was right.
So you know I'm you know how much of a credit guy I am, so make sure that you you know what kind of – you know that.
Did you have panic?
Hey, JP, you think that today should be relatively quiet unless you know, because if you're going to get up today, you're going to have to give up more assets next year, which I really don't get about. But you think it's going to be pretty much quiet day to day?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Again, it's hard to imagine the Falcons really moving up much. I think you can actually kind of see where the pieces are coming together. So they've basically have two picks left of this draft before they're glorified undrafted free agent in the seventh round. And Terry Fondo said they're going to be really aggressive in what he's calling the eighth round of the draft with all these UDFAs. But basically, now you have filled the edge need. You also have added to your inside linebacker group. I know that, you know, it's hard to characterize, you know, bucket exactly where Jalen Walker is going to fit in, but the way that I heard them talking about him yesterday definitely felt like more of an off-ball linebacker situation. So you add depth there, and now you do still have some outstanding needs. I would expect them to go after a center, whether that happens today or tomorrow, I'm not sure, but I would think that they're going to go after that position, as well as a defensive back, whether that's a corner or a safety. I think they're probably just looking for somebody who can play nickel. And then after that, you know, there are still some things you can do after the draft once we kind of get a little bit further down the line. Whether they're able to trade Kirk Cousins today or maybe trade him down the line, get some team to take a little bit of salary off, as well as they can make an additional cut in David Onyemata post-June 1 that can open up quite a bit of room. And then there's a player out there. His name is Jalen Ramsey. He's been a pretty good NFL player in the past. I think that he is another player to really keep an eye out for. When you look about the push that the Falcons team made yesterday in drafting these players, I think you got to think that they're willing to make at least kind of one more big move if they can afford it. And I think that they can afford Jalen Ramsey down the line. So that'll be an interesting one to watch out for as well.
That would be very exciting.
That's Joe. That's real spicy. That's real spicy. Yeah.
Very exciting.
Very, very
spicy. There we go.
We go from just like, okay, what are they going to do? How are they going to blow it? So they get two guys you wanted in the first round and then maybe Jalen Ramsey. It's weird.
That's spicy there, Joe.
This is like a really weird – I don't know how to cover this.
We've never been through this.
I don't know how to cover this Falcon.
We've never been through that like
this. I'm going to have to grow. I have to grow as a broadcaster. Joe, thank you.
Appreciate it, JP.
Thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there, 92.9 The Game, insider. I know he'll be on the radio station a lot over the next couple of days.
What an exciting day, ATL. It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch. Abe's hanging out with us, by the way. He's up here helping us out today. We are going to get both of our first-round draft picks as the Falcons move back into the first round to get James Pierce at 26, Jalen Walker, 15th overall. They're both going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Let's talk to our man B-Mac right now, Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion, here with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, B-Mac, how surprised were you with what the Falcons did? And did you feel like we won the draft last night, at least in day one?
I wasn't surprised, man. We talked about this consistently leading up to the draft, the need to improve the defense, the need to improve the element of pass rushing. So attacking the defensive side, getting guys who can put pressure on opposing quarterbacks was a major necessity for the Falcons, and I applaud their efforts in doing so. Now, I was a bit surprised to see what they gave up to get back into the first round to go get James Pierce. But clearly the folks in the building felt like James Pierce was the number one edge rushing option available, and they wanted to do everything in their power to go get him. So it is what it is. But outside of that, man, you know, we talked about this, can't put any pressure on quarterbacks. And I did some research, guys. The last time, and you guys probably know this as well, the last time the Falcons had a double-digit sack guy was 2016, right? Vic Beasley.
Right.
Like, the number one song on the Billboard charts was Justin Bieber, Love Yourself. That's how long it's been since they had a guy that can get double-digit sacks. And then most recently, the last time they had an individual with at least 7 sacks was 2019. So that has been an issue for the team for quite some time, so I applaud them in trying to improve that area.
Yeah, I know that we all had, as Carl and I were just having this conversation off the air, you get locked into some of these valuations and what the so-called air quotes experts are saying, BMAC. I had Mike Green higher than Pierce, but then when you look at it, Pierce is basically a bigger, twitchier version, you could argue, of Mike Green. We're all kind of familiar with Jalen Walker. I mean, we'll talk about where he's going to play in a second. But what do you think of Pierce? Does it mean just little things, just getting coached up, technique, maturity, that'll all come?
You know what, Mike? I'm right there with you. In terms of Mike Green and James Pierce, I had Mike Green higher on my board. I felt like he was a better pass rusher. And I just love his physical mentality. You know what I mean? I think that's something that's needed when you're battling in the trenches. But clearly the folks inside the building there, Flowery Branch, felt otherwise. But the thing about James Pierce that really jumps off when you watch him is his burst and his athleticism. You know what I mean? Clearly running that good 40 time in Indy really confirmed everything that you saw from him throughout his time there with Tennessee. And I think that was the say-all, be-all, the athleticism, the burst. And he kind of fits what they already have in place. You look at Leonard Floyd, you look at his length, you look at the athleticism. James Pierce is probably like a younger version of a Leonard Floyd, but I would say he's faster.
Did we give up too much? Or do you think – okay. Why? Why?
All right. So if you're the Rams, number one, the Rams were not taking an edge rusher, in my opinion. If you look at their front, all of those guys are still in rookie contracts and they're playing fairly well. So if you're the Rams, you are okay moving. But for the Falcons to give up their second-round pick and a first-rounder in 2026, along with a seventh-rounder this year, those – clearly the first two picks are value picks. The second rounder in next year's 2020, next year's first, wherever that might be, I felt like the Falcons could have waited a little bit because, to your point, Mike Carl, I felt like James Pierce and Mike Green, they're kind of living in the same neighborhood, right? So let's wait a little bit because I can tell you two teams are definitely willing to make something happen in terms of a move, Kansas City and Philadelphia. They've shown the ability to move out of the first round in years past. So I think I would have stayed put, just stay a little patient. Stay a little patient, and if Pierce is off the board, you still can trade up and maybe not give up as much as you gave up to get Pierce and still go get a high, prolific pass rusher and a guy like Mike Green.
It is Bryant McFadden, guys, two-time Super Bowl winner, our weekly visit, talking about the draft. We'll talk about corners because that's something on the board for us, along with maybe DT coming up in a second. But let's talk about Jalen Walker. I mean, leadership, championship, I mean, everything. Coach's son, that phrase came up a lot last night, too. I mean, you got everything you're looking for. And again, a steal, Bryant, the fact that he fell to us at 15. I guess the only thing was they were maybe looking to still trade down because they obviously like Pierce. How does he play? How do they use him off the jump? Because at 6'1", can he handle off the tackles, how do you use him to get after the quarterback in the NFL?
That's the thing. I think he would be more of like a joker type of player for their defense. He's an off-ball linebacker, very, very instinctive, but yet and still he can rush the passer as an edge rusher. So now you have to get creative. I look at how Dallas utilizes Michael Parsons from time to time. You know, sometimes he's an off-ball linebacker. Sometimes he's an edge rusher. Sometimes he lines up the three technique in situational packages, and you run stunts with him. Jalen has that ability, and he's very, very strong at the point of attack. Yes, he's not 6'5 or 6'4 or 6'3, but he's still strong at the point of attack, and he plays with good leverage. And he's a three-down player, you know what I mean? So the versatility that he has is something that can really benefit and help the entire defense out, because he can play multiple positions, and he's not a liability in doing so.
Yeah, it's interesting. B, let's talk about your guys. And I think everybody was surprised as Pittsburgh. Now, I think they did the right thing. This is the brilliance, I believe, of the front office in never trying to say, you know, they're going to do what we think, or go and reach out of pocket and say, oh, we needed that, and so we're going to go get it. They desperately need to get younger on that defensive line, and they got a good guy in Derek Harmon. But you had to be surprised that Shador is sitting there and 21 pops up and the Steelers don't do it.
Yes, I was surprised, because that's a need for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I, for one, felt like Shador Sanders' tape was good enough to be selected there. Now, what we're hearing coming from this entire process, listeners, is that, and I can't confirm or deny that these allegations or these speculations are true, but we're hearing the interview process wasn't as appealing for a guy like Shador Sanders. We're hearing that, you know, when you go into an interview process, and all of us that's on this call right now, we've had to be involved in an interview. And for our listeners, our adult listeners, the same could be said for you as well. Hear me out with this situation. When you go into an interview process, it's your job to sell yourself to whoever it is that's interviewing you. So sometimes you got to change up things, your mindset, how you handle yourself, because you want to make them feel like we need him to be a part of what we're doing. And from what I'm hearing, and like I said, these are just things that I'm hearing. I was not involved in the interview process. I'm hearing that was not the case. I'm hearing it was a sense of, I don't want to say being overly confident, but it's like, if you don't draft me, oh, well, you're going to pay. Like, these are things these organizations don't take well to. And I know firsthand, because I once was a drafted player and I once was involved in these interview process. And when I walked into the interview room, I'm the type of person, I'm a yes sir, no sir type of guy anyway, because that just shows respect. But also, too, I will exercise humility in terms of the dialogue that I'm having with organizations, because I want them to see I'm a humble individual and I love working and I want to do everything I need to do to be able to be an asset to your team. I think that's the issue. All I'm saying is these are things that I've heard. So you got to look at it like this, guys. Mike Call, if you're thinking about bringing a guy into your organization to play a prominent position, and he kind of shows off to be more brashful than anything, not forthcoming, are you more inclined to draft him, or would you be more inclined to draft another player that exercises humility from start to finish, and he seems to be a team player? Not saying Shador isn't, but these are the things that you like. I think you got to decide with the latter.
Well, B, here, listen, I hear what you're saying. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talk with Brian McFadden here about the draft last night, this is one of the big storylines that'll head into tonight's draft in round two. B, we know there have been guys in the past, quarterbacks, that have not interviewed well, yet they've still been drafted. And you're telling me that's what held Shador out of the first round? That is weak sauce. It is all about these bits and pieces, right? Combine's a bit and piece. Tape, bit and piece. Talking to their coaches, a bit and piece. Interview process, bit and piece. Medical. And you're telling me that he's the guy because he interviewed, apparently, again, you weren't there, I wasn't there. But if that's what kept him out of the first round, we know for a fact there have been other quarterbacks in the past in the National Football League that have done worse, that have had less personality, that couldn't draw plays on a board and still got drafted. So I have a hard time buying that. I don't know what it is, but I'm with you, and I felt the same way. But either way, do you think he's going to get picked tonight?
I hope so. I hope so. And listeners, I'm just telling you what I heard. I don't feel that way. I'm just I'm basing my assumption off what I saw on Saturdays. And I will also add to this, Mike, Carl, I've heard that a lot of NFL teams were not high on his tape. They were not high on his tape. A lot of people were. We were high on his tape from the outside looking in, but a lot of individuals who really dissect the tape were not high on the tape. So now if you're not high on his tape and you just didn't love the interview process, he came off as a bit bashful, making demands, saying this, saying that, of course you're probably going to turn to the other option. I'm just telling you, I wanted Pittsburgh to draft him. Me personally, you don't understand how I felt when I did not see his name called. I took a knee like I was in church saying a prayer. I broke down. Right. But now as I do my due diligence and I kind of put my ear to the streets, I'm hearing a lot of the same things from different people from within different organizations. You can't walk into an interview and make demands like you're the best thing since sliced bread. Now, see, you got to understand, his old man had that type of bravado because he was one of one. Right. Most people felt like Shedeur Sanders' tape wasn't like that. So if they feel like your tape is not like that, you got to win them over in other areas.
I'm with you. And again, I still think, to Carl's point, he's paying for the sins of his father. It's our man Brian McFadden. Before we cut you loose, he played corner. It was really good. Will Johnson, people scared by his medical. He's still out there. Trey Amos from Ole Miss. Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame. Just off the top of my head, if we do move again, which who knows, man, Riverboat Terry. But maybe we go get a corner. Who of those guys do you like the best? Because we need to get another corner. Help the nickel.
I love Trey Amos. I love his length. He reminds me a little bit of Razul Douglas with his length and how disruptive he is at the line of scrimmage. I love Suvon Revel from East Carolina coming off an ACL, but it sounds like he should be ready to go at some point in time during the start of the season. And you talked about Will Johnson. I think he's the most glorified. I know. He has been the most glorified collegiate corner over the last 3 years, but he's still available. But it's all about the injuries. And the thing that really hurt Will Johnson is because he finished the season injured, and when he did his personal workout, he didn't do anything to showcase the speed is back where it needs to be. You know what I mean? And I think that really hampered his potential of being drafted clearly by now, because he went through the drills, but you didn't run. You know what I mean? And speed is a necessity when you're playing the cornerback position. So there's a lot of corners that's available. Now, the one caveat is Atlanta doesn't have a second-round pick, right? So how can you finesse trying to go get one of these type guys that could be a second-rounder when you don't? You know, do you want to continue to be, what you call them, Riverboat Terry, and try to find a way to get back into the second round and go get a difference maker? But at some point in time, guys, you're going to run out of resources.
Hey, just because we're on the subject, the other thing that came up the last couple of days, we're not being played because Raheem Morris' relationship with Jalen Ramsey. He's gotten worse everywhere he's gone. You still think Jalen Ramsey is good enough to be worth the money?
$24 million is high-level pay for a corner, and I don't think he's that high-level player like he once was, but I still think he could really be a difference maker. It's up to Atlanta, because if you bring him in and he's receiving $24 million, he's playing corner. That's for sure. Yeah. Like, he's not playing a nickel. He's not playing safety. He's playing a corner. And will the organization, do they feel like he still has what it takes to be able to receive that compensation and also to deliver on the goods? I think you got to try to take a chance on him, because for Miami, I don't know if there's a team that would be willing to trade for Jalen Ramsey, eating his entire salary for this year. So if you're the Dolphins, you're probably going to be in a tough situation where you might have to eat some of the money that he's supposed to see this season to make it easier for him to be moved. And if that's the case, if you're Atlanta, you're all in anyway. It seems like they're rolling the dice. Riverboat Terry is making aggressive moves. If they're willing to eat some of that salary, bring Jalen Ramsey to town and let's make everything happen.